Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to our second reading in the book of Job, chapter 14. Job, chapter 14, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. Man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow, and continueth not. And dost thou open thine eyes upon such an one, and bringest me into judgment with thee? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Turn from him that he may rest, till he shall accomplish as an hireling his day. For there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. But man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? As the waters fail from the sea, and the flood decayeth and drieth up, so man lieth down and riseth not, till the heavens be no more. They shall not awake, nor be raised out of their sleep. Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. Thou wilt have a desire to the work of thine hands. For now thou numberest my steps. Dost thou not watch over my sin? My transgression is sealed up in a bag, and thou sewest up mine iniquity. And surely the mountain falling cometh to naught, and the rock is removed out of his place. The waters wear the stones. Thou washest away the things which grow out of the dust of the earth, and thou destroyest the hope of man. Thou prevailest forever against him, and he passeth. Thou changest his countenance and sendest him away. His sons come to honor, and he knoweth it not, and they are brought low, but he perceiveth it not of them. But his flesh upon him shall have pain, and his soul within him shall mourn. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Here we have Job in a commendable run through a proper kind of humility. Job is speaking very humbly here. excuse me, a lot of congestion today, I'm not sure why. So we have this first section, verses 1 through 6, where Job says, men's days are full of trouble. They are like a flower or a shadow. That is, they're transitory and brief. The days of men are numbered and marked by the Lord who determines his span. And then he gives counsel that should encourage patience and sympathy rather than accusation. Speaking to the Lord, Job asks for a withdrawal of the Lord's heavy hand so that he may complete his course of service unto the Lord and it may draw to an end. He says, make me like the hireling whose day is over. It comes to an end, in other words. Now, he's going to go on in the next section to speak about how that could be considered a good thing. It's interesting, isn't it, that Job is suffering so vehemently here that he prefers death to go on to living in some case. I think not that this is a proper desire in Job. I think not that it is okay for us to desire death in this way. And yet we do see, at least in a couple of places of Scripture, that there is this understanding. Let me remind you of this, right? So Hezekiah hears that his days are over. And he turns his face to the wall and he prays and he mourns. And the Lord sends the prophet Isaiah to him, and the Lord gives him 15 years. Remember that? Okay, so then the very next thing he does is he receives the ambassadors from Babylon and he shows them everything. Remember that? Yeah, and so they leave and Isaiah says, what did you do? What did you show them? Everything. They came to see me because I had recovered. And so I showed them all the stuff. And Isaiah says, well, there will come a time when they will return. It'll be after your death, however. And what does Hezekiah say? You remember that? That sounds strange to our ears. But Hezekiah says, the word of the Lord is good to me because this will happen after I die. Right? That's what he says. Josiah says something very similar to that. Okay, so we need to be careful. There is a very real world understanding in some faithful saints in the continuing of their existence. Job is talking here about the continuing of his existence. He does not believe that death is the end for him, the end, but it is the end of his suffering. And so there may be in Job what some divines have thought to be a righteous desire for his end. I can't quite get there, honestly. In my conception of it, I cannot quite get there. Job should, he should be asking himself the question that we should be asking ourselves in times of affliction. Can you be faithful if it never changes from today? Can you remain faithful? Those are the kinds of questions we need to ask ourselves, rather than to live on what one of our pastors used to call Sunday aisle. Right? Someday I'll have it better. Someday it'll get better. And so in that day, then I'll be faithful. In that day, then I'll be cheerful. In that day, then I'll be joyous. Instead of, can you be joyous now if it never changes? Can you be faithful now if it never changes? And I think, truly, that is what the Scripture requires of us. So it is hard for me to go along with some of the more tender commentators to say that Job may be maintaining an upright attitude here. I think that if he would indulge himself in a thought that, you know, death is better than to go on living like this, that if Job's going to be righteous in that it would be but a fleeting thought. It would go very quickly. And he would indeed once again resolve himself to receiving what the Lord would give him. Is that not what he said to his wife early on? Shall we receive good of the Lord and not evil? Okay? So that's the second portion when Job talks about that, you know, death would be a relief for him. And yet, notice that even in the midst of this speech about death being relief, notice that Job is a staunch believer in the resurrection. Death would not be the end for them. Sorry, for him. And this becomes clear when he says, oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past, and thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. The change there means that he will be brought alive from the dead. Now, he'll make this explicit in chapter 19, what is not perhaps as clear here in chapter 14. All right, so then in verses 16 through the end of the chapter, as we finish it up, again, he returns to man's weakness and his afflictions, and he speaks of it in terms of the waters wear down the stones, thou washest away the things that grow out of the dust of the earth, thou destroyest the hope of man, prevailest over him, and he passeth, thou changest his countenance, sendest him away, all of those things. So he puts it in some metaphorical terms and then in some explicit terms. But notice what Job does here that he had not done at the beginning of the chapter, talking about the frailty and demise of men. Verse 16, for now thou numberest my steps, dost not thou watch over my sin. My transgression is sealed up in a bag, and thou sewest up mine iniquity. Here, Job sees no escape from the effects of sin upon him. Okay? No escape. It's sealed up. It's sewn up. In other words, that bag can't be emptied out. It's going to be retained. It's going to be in the bag. It's sewed up by God. And so Job here, he speaks in a way that is right with regard to sin and the wages of sin, but there may be a twinge of hopelessness following directly upon his speech concerning the resurrection. And so it is difficult to ascertain exactly what Job means here, but it may be that what Job is saying is, it's good for me that I have longed for death, because this is really the lot of every man when the Lord especially seals up his sins in a bag such that he gets no relief from them. Okay? And so here again in Job, we see some good and upright desires, some faithful expressions that are mingled with some things that are against God's providence regarding him. And we commend the one, and we say that Job could have done better than the other. Okay? All right. So we're not going to find it all good or all bad in Job. We don't get to make that kind of binary judgment with regard to him. We are going to see that Job is a messy human being like we are. Right? He's messy like we are. All right. Thus ends the reading. Let's stand and continue praising the Lord.